He is worthy, isn't he? Wanted to mention real quick before we get into the message. Tonight, if you're planning on singing for Singspiration, there will not be any accompaniment. So we apologize for that. But if you have, you'll need to bring your music, and I need you to make sure you get here early enough to get that accomplished. If you show up at 6 o'clock, it's likely you won't get to do it. I still love you, but I want you to know that. If you get here at 6 and you expect us to get all your stuff in when it's time for us to start, it won't be able to happen. So, if maybe that's what you're looking for is a way out, I don't know. But anyway, let's see, there was one other thing I was going to mention. I took my sticky notes out, and I usually stick it to my tablet here. Anyway, it is so good to see you this morning. Everybody smile at me. There we go. All right. Okay, no sleeping today. You can do that this afternoon. I plan to. You got a deal? Okay. Praise the Lord. I hope that you won't be able to sleep during this message. It is a very powerful passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning. I think it's incredible. This morning we're going to talk about the glory of God, and I could not get away from this as I was praying and thinking about this message and where God wanted us to be. I just could not get away from this, and so then I began to ask myself some questions like. What is the glory of God, and two, how do we give glory to God? So I think to help with that, we need to understand a couple of things. Number one, I believe that every person that was created to bring and give God glory. And so with that being said, let me use the dictionary to try and define the word glory. The dictionary defines glory in three ways, and the first one says it's very great praise. It's honor or distinction bestowed by common consent or renown. God is deserving of our praise, isn't he? When we give honor to God, that is giving him glory. When we praise him as we did, that is also a way to give glory to God. Number two, is defining glory, something that is a source of honor, fame, or admiration, a distinguished ornament or an object of pride. And then the third definition of glory is adorning praise or worshipful thanksgiving. That is glory, or giving glory to God. And I have this statement that comes from the Westminster Catechism, created and thought through by church fathers of that day. I think they created this in 1614, the year 1614. And this was basically how they summed life up. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Our chief end, the purpose of our life, should be to glorify God. Isn't that cool? So we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about God's glory. And as I was driving in this morning, I usually on Sunday mornings I get here real early, and the sun was just coming up this morning, and there was some low clouds, and the sun was under them because it was just rising, creating a pink color on the bottom side of those clouds. And I looked over as I was driving in, getting ready to turn into the parking lot. And I looked over and said, thank you, Lord. That's beautiful. And because I already had this particular scripture pointed out, picked out for Psalm 19, verse 1, where the Bible says, the heavens proclaim God's glory, proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. And I saw that with my own eyes this morning. Maybe you saw it too from your place. And just wonderful. And I've always really enjoyed looking up at the moon. Don't look at the sun, it will hurt your eyes. But the moon doesn't hurt your eyes. And it just always intrigues me how God keeps that moon right there in place every time, all the time. And you look up and you can see some of the, when it's full moon, you can see some of the craters in it and whatnot. And it's just like, you just see that it's real. And you know that someone put it there, don't you? That's why the heavens proclaim God's glory. That's why the skies display his craftsmanship, because he's the one that did it all. He's the one who put it all there. He holds it there together day after day, minute after minute, second after second. So that is part of his glory. And then, next verse, we're going to look at, and this one is very, very interesting passage or verse right here. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 17 is where we're going to be looking next. Says that to the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit, at the top of the mountain. God's glory appeared to be like a consuming fire. Now, what was going on around this verse? God had delivered his people from Egypt. They were getting ready to cross the desert and head to the promised land. And as they were going, God, once in the trip from Egypt to the promised land, God is establishing and helping them begin to learn. He was unveiling the way that he wanted them to live. He was giving them the law. What God was doing is he was speaking to the people of Israel from the mountain. And they had most of them had a problem with it. Because of this, when God spoke, they thought they were going to die. Has somebody ever spoke to you and you thought it was over with? That's what they thought. They thought, oh my goodness, this is too much. God is clearly extremely powerful. And they thought he was a consuming fire and that their lives might be burned up in it. And so what they did was they said to Moses, who was the leader at the time, and they looked to Moses and said, "Hey Moses, we want you to be the leader. We want you to be the representative. We want you to speak to God for us. And whatever he tells you to do, that's what we'll do, but don't let him talk to us anymore because we might die." Pretty interesting, huh? The glory of the Lord appeared like a consuming fire. The glory of God, his glory revealed to them when it was, they thought they might lose their lives. And so, In Moses' life, we're going to look at, in a few chapters later, Exodus chapter 33, we're going to look at this particular account this morning. I want to kind of lead up to it. What they have is, again, they're going from Egypt to the promised land. God had just delivered them miraculously from Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. God has been giving them the law. Which was basically how he wanted them to live and behave. And part of the problem was this. Moses, again, the people told Moses, "Hey, we don't want God to speak to us directly. We want you to speak to him on our behalf. And again, whatever he tells you for us to do, that's what we'll do." And so Moses goes up onto that mountain that the others were afraid of. And he went up the mountain. And he's getting the law from God. And matter of fact, God writes it on these stone tablets. God writes on there himself the law for the people. The problem was that Moses was up there for 40 days. Can everybody say 40? 40 days. And so the people back down at the bottom of the mountain are waiting on Moses to get back to tell them what God was saying. And they're like, hey, anybody know where Moses is? How many days has it been, by the way? And somebody says, oh, I don't know, you know, 20, 30, I don't know. Maybe, oh, wait, no, somebody says it was 40 days. We don't know what's happened to Moses. Maybe he didn't make it. Hey, let's find another leader. And so what they did was they gave their gold jewelry to, it was actually Moses' brother Aaron, and made a golden calf, and they worshiped that calf. You know what they said about that calf? Oh, look who delivered us from Egypt. Meanwhile, Moses is on top of the mountain talking with God. And God says, Moses, you need to get back down there. The people are acting up. So Moses heads back down with the tablets, these stone tablets. And he gets down to the bottom, and near the bottom, and he begins to hear celebration. Basically, they're throwing a party. Moses continues down the mountain, and he sees what they're celebrating. And it was that golden calf. Moses at this point is angry, and rightly so, because Moses knew full well who delivered the people, and it wasn't a golden calf. It was the Lord God Almighty. Do you know what Moses did? He burned that calf, and then he smashed up the ashes into dust, and he sprinkled it on the water and made everybody drink some of it. Don't make Moses mad. But not only did they not want to hear, and I think that it grieved God when the people said, We don't want God to speak to us anymore. We want Moses. Moses, we want you to be the representative. I think that grieved God. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. And so what we have now is, at this point, because the people have chosen to worship this golden calf, now God says, Moses, you guys need to go on to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel instead. And Moses stands in the gap and he says, wait a second, God, that's not good enough. And he's not trying to fuss and he's not trying to complain, but he does want to make a point to God. God, whoa, you got to go with us because, Lord, you're what makes us different than everybody else. It's your presence that goes with us that makes us different than all the other nations. How true is that today? Those of us who call Jesus Lord, we ought to have God's presence with us. And I'm not there, I'm not to this point, but in the New Testament, Peter, he walked around and his shadow healed people. When his shadow touched some people, they were healed. Because the presence of God was so strong in Peter's life. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? As followers of Christ, we ought to have the presence of God in our life to where others know that there's something different about us. You agree? Or are we just exactly like them, except we go to church on Sundays? Let's let the Lord penetrate our hearts and purify us and draw us to Himself. And so, Moses, in his conversation with God, he says, God, you say that you want me to take your people to the promised land, and you say that I have found favor in your eyes. Then, God, would you go with us? Again, if we don't have your presence, God, it's not worth going. It's not worth doing it. It's not worth going without you. And God says, okay, fine. I'll go with you. And then Moses asks another question, and it's in verse 18. Moses says, God, would you show me your glory? God, show me your glorious presence. I'm kind of blown away because I already shared with you one incident where Moses saw God's glorious presence and everybody else was scared to death. And they said, that's it, no more. I can't deal with that. I'll die. But Moses was the one who went up to the mountain to further communicate with God and receive these instructions. But now Moses is saying, God, I'm hungry for you. I want more of you. I want to know your character. I want to know what motivates you. I want to know what you're all about. I want to know who you are. Show me your presence. Show me your glory. Are you hungry for God's glory? Do you have any desire to know Him more than you currently do? Do you have a desire to get closer to Him and allow Him to speak to your heart and allow Him to come and be with you? Moses said, God, show me your glory. And look at how God responds to him. In verse 19, the Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. God says, all right. Yeah. All right, Moses, I'll show myself to you. I'll show you my glory. You know why I think he did? Because I think that's what God wants to do for each one of us. I think that, again, that God was grieved, if we backtrack just a little bit, when the people said, whoa, don't let God speak to us anymore like that, Moses. We will all die. I think God was grieved. Now, I don't know why God did it that away. Maybe he wanted them to see his power. And in reality, they should have all seen his power in Egypt, when he provided miracle after miracle. But here, God says, yeah, sure, Moses. You found favor with me. Yes, and I'll show you my glory. I'll show you what you've asked for. I'll show you who I am. Remember that name Yahweh? That was first revealed to him at the burning bush. And God said, I'm the great I am. That name that meant, I am, meant I'm the one who is present and active in your life. I'm with you all. And God showed it time and time again when they're wandering through the desert on their way to the promised land. He says, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. That's his character. That's who he is. That's what he's about. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I'm hungry for that. I want to know what he's all about. I want to know his character. And I believe that his character is beautiful. There's no flaw in the Lord. There's no areas of imperfection. Only purity. Isn't that awesome? But he says, I'll make my name, call out my name before you. That name Yahweh, and if you've got your Bible open, it may say Jehovah there, or it may say the Lord in all caps. They're all the same, even though they read differently. But this is that special and sacred name of God. And you see, there's something about the name. You answer when someone calls out your name. And your name, in reality, has meaning. When somebody says your name, somebody else is either going to come to a conclusion based off what they know about you up to that point. Could be positive, it could be negative. Let's face it. God's name is powerful. We can include the name of Jesus in there as well. And you'll see that Jesus is in there in just a minute. And it's wonderful. I'm talking to adults and children alike, okay? We can know God. We can know God. Now, Pastor, now you're talking crazy. But isn't that really what Moses asked? And does God show favoritism? No. It's over and over in his word. In the New Testament, the passage talked about Elijah. It said that Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years, and it didn't. And God is no respecter of persons. In other words, if your faith is there, you could do the same. If God leads you to do something like that, then it could happen through you too. Pretty interesting. And here, Moses says, God, I want to know who you are. I want to see you more intimately. I want to be that much closer to you. You see, we also get to understand out of this that there's always more of God. There's not a place that you come to, at least in this life, where, well, there's not any more of God. I've come to the end of the road. There's no more road left. No. There's always more of God. He's infinite. He goes on and on and on. There's not a place that you can come to where, well, there's not any more. There's always more. And as a matter of fact, he gets sweeter and sweeter as we travel down that road. But there's never an end. There's not a dead end. There's not a stop. There's not a turn. It's just keep on going. Keep on running after him. Keep on pursuing him. Moses had already seen a lot. There was still more. And even after this, there was still more. And you'll see that in just a moment. But it's interesting. God said he calls out his own name. Because there's something to his name. There's power in his name. And there still is. God is only a one word away. When you need him, just call out. We know him primarily by this name, Jesus. You just have to call him out. The second part of verse 19 on the next slide, God continues. He says, for I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will choose compassion. I will show compassion to anyone I choose. In other words, God's saying, listen, I'm God and I do what I want, but I'm also good. And I want to show, look at this, I want to show mercy and I want to show compassion. Isn't that awesome? We don't always get those things, do we? From other sources in life. Sometimes we get judgment. Sometimes we get criticism. Sometimes we get condemnation even. God says, but I like to show mercy. And you can't tell me I can't. Isn't that good? I like to show mercy. And who are you to tell me I can't do it? You're not big enough. Go ahead and try. I like to show mercy and compassion. And haven't we all received some of that? In boatloads. I love that about God. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. Verse 20. God continues, but Moses, you may not look directly at my face. You can't look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. Yikes! So maybe the Israelites were onto something earlier when they said, that's enough, otherwise we'll die. Maybe they were onto something. Apparently, we can only handle so much of God's glory in this earthly body. I wonder why that is. Likely, it's because we live in a sinful world. Our world is tainted with sin. I suspect that's why it has to be burned up and recreated. In the end, the Bible says that this one's going to burn and be tested by fire. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. But see, this particular verse helps us to understand that there's more of God. There's more of God. Moses, even this day that he's going to go and he's going to see God and see God's glory, there's still more of him to be understood and seen. We can't all take it all. We can't take all of who God is in at once. It's just not really, it doesn't work that way. This is why I believe that when we read through the Bible many times, you'll still find things that you don't remember ever seeing before at all. It happens to me all the time. I'm like, what? I know I've read that before, but I don't remember that. Whoa, God, this is great. Why? It's because you weren't at a place to get it the last time you were there. Does that make sense? But this time you're there. And next time, there'll be something different. Because there's always more of God. There's always more of him. Moses, I'll let you see my glory, but you can't see my face. Verse 21, the Lord continued, look, Moses, stand near me on this rock. There's the near. God wants us to be near. He wants us to be close to him, in close proximity to him. He wants us to be intimate with him and know things, what he wants, what he cares about. And he wants to know you. Isn't it lovely? But look, he said at the very last word here, he says, look, stand near me on this rock. I wish that was capitalized, because that is pointing to Jesus Christ, as all of Scripture does, points to Christ. Look, you're going to stand with me, stand near me on this rock. Isn't that great? The rock, it represents Christ and points to Jesus Christ. And even all the way back there at the second book of the Bible. In verse 22, God continues, he says, and Moses, as my glorious presence passes by you, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock. We're hidden in Christ, church. We're hidden in Christ. Jesus covers us. Aren't you thankful? He covers us and he gives us right standing with the Father. Praise God. He says, Moses, as my glorious presence passes by you, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Are you getting a mental picture of what's going on? God's got a big hand, evidently. He's going to place his hand over us, and over Moses, and cover him so that he doesn't see the front side of God. Verse 23, then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. There's still more of God. There's always more of God. And Moses is going, I would imagine Moses is weeping right now when God's telling him what's getting ready to happen. He's like, oh, thank you, Lord. I found favor with you. And I just want to know you. Lord, thanks for letting me lead. And there was over a million people that he was leading out of Egypt. Thanks for letting me lead these people. But Lord, what I'd really want is you. You hear that? Lord, what I really want is you. Or are you chasing other things in your life right now? Let me encourage you to be like Moses and say, God, you're the one that I need. Nothing else will do. You know, as a pastor, Bigger church isn't enough. More people isn't enough. More education isn't enough. You just want more of Him. Right? Do you want more of Him? And you got to prove it. You got to prove it. Not really to me. You got to prove it to Him. And I believe He'll prove it to you. Because I believe He already wants it. Wants to know you. Wants to be closer to you. But I'm gonna cover you, Moses, so you can see my backside. So you can see this part of me. But you can't see the front. You can't see all of it just yet. That'll be when we enter eternity. And that'll be pretty great. Won't it? It's hard to really fathom what that's going to be like, what it's going to be like to see God in all His glory, not being limited by this earthly vessel, and looking and gazing upon His beauty and His character and His presence. But He said, my face won't be seen. I want to share a couple other scriptures with you as my wife is ready to come to the piano. Psalm 86, verse 12. And this morning, I'm going to, as I do oftentimes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to apply this to your life, an opportunity to respond. And we'll do that in the altars. And it's a good and healthy thing. And so, Psalm 86, verse 12 says, the psalmist writes, "With all my heart, I will praise You, O Lord my God, I will give glory to Your name forever." Do you desire to give God glory? Do you desire to know Him? Today we can do it. Today we can, because He invites us through the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two, allowing us, signifying that we have access through Christ into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence. And today, we can respond to Him. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, God's word says this, "And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang." They sang this song to the Lord. "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the One sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Glory was mixed in there, wasn't it? God's deserving of glory because He's wonderful, because He's incredible. And this morning, I want you to know that He's inviting you. He's gonna say His name. He wants to reveal who He is to you. But this morning, He's calling your name. This morning, He's calling your name. Saying, "Come on. Come on. I want to show you who I am. I want to reveal myself to you." This morning, if that's you, if you're hungry for Him, and I invite you to come up and join me in the front. You can come and kneel at the altars. You can come and bow. You can come and stand. You can come and raise your hands. But come and seek Him. Come and seek Him. Respond to His invitation to know Him. Step out. If that's you, if you're hungry for Him, step out and let's pursue the Lord this morning.
Jesus, oh, there's just something about that name. You're my Master, my Savior, sweet Jesus, like a fragrance Jesus, oh my Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, oh, they will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 oh, there's just something about that name.
Compares to this. What a beautiful name it is.
the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Don't you love that name? I want to challenge you. Well, you haven't challenged us already? Well, I hope so. But you see, that's what I feel my responsibility is. But I want to further challenge you. It's not just this isn't just for Sundays. Seek the Lord daily. Pursue Him tomorrow. Talk with Him tomorrow. Open up His wonderful Word tomorrow, the Bible. He wants to speak to your life. He wants to continually transform you. So how do we bring glory to God? One, by knowing Him. And two, by making Him known. And He's the only one that can help us to make Him known. And you can't learn about Him from somebody else. Only partially can you learn Him from someone else. It's about your relationship with Him. So dig a little deeper. Push in a little further. I believe that He'll meet you in the middle. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your wonderful people. I ask, God, that You would just continually challenge us and that You would go with us, that Your hand would be upon each person, adult, child. You know each one of them by name. Lord, and I thank You that You smile down upon us. Now, God, would You encourage them, guide them, direct them, give them grace, give them strength, provide their every need. We thank You and we love You. Help us to know You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. And we do have service tonight at 6 o'clock. Service on Wednesdays is at 6:30. God bless you all. We'll see you tonight or as soon as we can.